Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. We're into the second hour of the Cortland Economics Report. I am Al Cortland. Appreciate you joining me. In our ongoing effort to provide some education in the resource sector to you folks out there, I am chatting right now with Mickey Fulp. Mickey is known as the mercenary geologist in our business, and we're going to chat a little bit about Mickey's views on investing. Mick, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Al.
You know, we're doing a series of interviews here on speculating in junior resource companies, and you're writing a book on that. And the third chapter of the book in progress, which you're on right now, is the subject of today. Let's talk about that, Mick.
Well, it's called Juniors, Metals, and Projects, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And it's really a way that I use to eliminate most of the 1,750 juniors from consideration for investment, and I do that very rapidly. And it's basically set up on what kind of commodity their flagship property explores for. So which commodity should juniors choose for a flagship project? That's the good. Which commodity should a junior not choose? That's the bad. And which commodity should a junior avoid at all cost? And those are the ugly ones.
You know, but logic, I mean, I've been involved investing in this industry for about 30 years. And really, I mean, elaborate a little bit on the fact that it really is much broader than just that, correct?
Well, it is. Unfortunately, it's not as simple as we always try to make it when we pigeonhole things. In addition to the commodity, we must look at the geologic setting and the environment. That is the deposit type specifically, and that would include the geological, geophysical, geochemical, and the geographical characteristics of flagship project.
Okay, now are these ironclad rules that you're suggesting, Mick?
No, not at all. These are Mickey the mercenary geologist's rules of thumb, and as you're well aware, Al, there are always exceptions to rules of thumb.
Boy, isn't that the truth. Okay, in the mercenary geologist's mind, Mickey, what are the criteria for choosing the good, the bad, and the ugly commodities and deposit types?
Well, there's five criteria that I use. Number one is the timeline to production and development. In other words, an average lifespan of a junior is something on the order of 5 to 7 years before they roll back or become a shell or go bankrupt or their project fails. So you want something that has a half-life of, say, 2 to 4 years, so you have a chance of getting it to a development decision. You want the production costs to be in the lowest quartile. So with a 40 to 70% operating margin over cash costs, that is a good mine. And we're really looking in this classification for things that can make good mines. We want the capital costs, the capital expenditures to be within the realm of what a junior can raise as a standalone entity. So that generally is something on $20 to $100 million, rarely $200 million. A thing I'm very particular in, and this will come up again in my spiel here today, is I don't want any counterparty risk. I want the junior to have the option of doing whatever it's doing on a standalone basis. And finally, I look for multiple exit strategies. In my mind, selling to a major mining company is not a viable exit strategy for 999 of every 1,000 juniors. And so I probably exaggerate a little bit about that, but the company needs to pick a project that's not too small for it and not too big for it and eliminate counterparty risk.
Okay, let's talk about good commodities and good deposit types.
My favorite is, and has been for a long time, would be heap leach, open pit, gold and silver deposits, because they meet all the five criteria that I listed above. They're quick to production, and development decisions. They are low cost, not a lot of capex, and a junior can have multiple exit strategies, with a deposit that is a medium-sized gold deposit. Very analogous to that would be heap leach open pit copper oxide deposits. and you're familiar with those. We were involved with a deposit in Chile of that type.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I like heap leach, open pit, or in situ recover uranium deposits, basically for the same reason. They're environmentally benign, these ISR deposits. They're quick to production, low capex. Junior can make money doing that.
You betcha. Let's talk about the bads.
Well, the bad generally are commodities or deposit types that have a third-party risk. So those would be the polymetallic deposits, and those include the lead-zinc-silver replacement deposits. They would include volcanogenic massive sulfide deposits and the nickel-platinum-copper deposits, because you need a smelter to recover the metals and get paid for it. And juniors can't afford to build a $5 billion smelter, so they have to enter into smelter contracts with majors, and that's counterparty risk.
Oh, you bet.
And there are only five or six major mining companies in the world. There's not a lot of smelters, so the options for a junior is very limited when they have to enter into a smelter contract. The other deposits I don't particularly like, the bad, include porphyry copper deposits. That's for a little different reason, because porphyry copper deposits are huge. They take a minimum of 10 years generally from discovery to a development decision. A junior would have to drill out a billion tons to get a major interested. Very few juniors can last for 10 years. So that's an example where a junior has taken on a project that's too big for it. And analogous to that would be the giant iron oxide deposits. And these are essentially bulk mining scenarios. So you're looking at iron deposits that run 35 to 50% iron. And that is sort of earth-moving exercises that require huge capital expenditures and are better suited for majors.
What about the uglies, big guy?
Well, yeah, now we get really down to things that I absolutely dislike. Top of the list are molybdenum and porphyry deposits. And the reason is that molybdenum is the most fickle metal on the planet. The price can take wild swings. In October of 2008, moly was trading at $33 a pound, and within 2 weeks it was at $8 a pound. These, again, are huge deposits with big capexes, and only 10% of the world's moly is produced from standalone deposits. Most of it comes from byproduct of copper deposits and from scrap steel, so I very much dislike moly. Another example would be the so-called unconventional deposits, and those that's a term invented by the USGS by research scientists in the 70s to study deposits that basically weren't economic, that were in unusual geologic environments. So unconventional basically means they're sub-economic. And finally, I generally dislike all specialty metal deposits, and those would include the minor metals, the rare metals. And there is an exception, which we'll talk about in a second here. But the specialty metal deposits are generally controlled by one company or one country or one deposit. So competing in that realm is very difficult, and it's some place that I think juniors should not tread.
The last topic, it strikes me, has to do with exceptions to your rules of thumb.
Okay, there are some good companies that are exceptions. Probably the premier lead zinc silver example would be Fortuna Silver, which has the Cayoma deposit in Peru. Porphyry copper gold example would be Antares in Peru, which I just visited. They are right next to Las Bambas of Xstrata, so they may be successful. And finally, I like the rare element companies now, because that's, as we've talked before, a bubble being blown up by the U.S. government. Favorite companies would include Avalon, Quest, and one of your sponsors, Rare Element.
Well, there you go. Been chatting with the mercenary geologist, Vicki Fulp. We're going to be back in a week or two and continue this discussion. Be right back.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Times are tough, and you gotta stretch that dollar. A special invitation for listeners to save. Sign up at DoobleyShoppers.com today and start paying the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices for the coolest stuff.
New premium brand name TVs, laptops, watches, camcorders, Blu-ray players, and more.
All with factory warranties, just like you get from a retail chain, except for the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices. They start low and go lower with our reverse auctions.
You save even more with your first $8 auction purchase.
Doobly will give you an instant $25 dining certificate good at thousands of nationwide restaurants, plus a $500 vacation discount voucher, usable at hundreds of resorts around the U.S. and world.
Sign up today at DoublyShoppers.com.
Pay the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices, and listeners receive special rewards. It's worth a peek to keep money in your pocket and the coolest stuff in your home and garage. Sign up today at DoublyShoppers.com. That's D-U-B-L-I Shoppers.com. You'll be glad you did.
If you suffer from poor sleep,
you've got to try MyPillow.
Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, MyPillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. MyPillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. MyPillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. MyPillow helps alleviate snoring, migraine, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. MyPillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes and will not go flat. And best of all, MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose?
Except poor sleep.
Go to MyPillowShop.com. Mention coupon code GCN and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com. Or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. MyPillow, for the rest of your life.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hope you're enjoying the articles, by the way, that I'm now posting on the Genesis Network. You know, it's, as I've said over the years and years and years, you need to get as much information as you can if you want to invest in resource companies, and anything that anybody has to offer, I think, is definitely worth reading or worth listening to. I am chatting right now with a friend by the name of Richard Karn. Richard has a great report called the Emerging Trends Report. He's been doing that for quite some time now. Richard is currently in Australia where he has embarked on a study, basically an extensive study of the mining industry in Australia. He's on the show every week, as regular listeners are aware, and we appreciate the input. I have a question. We recorded this much earlier in the week, but a headline that came out on Reuters earlier in the week entitled Australia Mining Stocks Bashed, Government Defends Tax. The opening line is Australian mining shares tumbled on Monday after the government slapped a 40% tax on mining profits to fund a boost to workers' incomes and an election year, sparking warnings that huge new investments could be lost. That is definitely not a good situation. Richard, you're the expert on Australia. What's going on?
Well, I'm hardly the expert, but I'm learning quite a bit as I go. I'd like to, you know, preface any comments I'm going to make here by saying, look, I'm a guest down here. Everybody's been very, very good to me, and I'm not really in a position or up to speed on Australian politics to really comment on it other than what I have read in the various papers and talked with my contacts in the mining industry down here. By and large, the mining industry's take is that it's an election year stunt of a government under siege. Pretty simply just a populist political stunt in an election year. Doesn't have much sound economics behind it, as it actually kills the industry that kept Australia out of the recession that tended to the global financial crisis. The nuts and bolts of it appear to be that it's still very light on details, as I understand it, but it appears to raise the existing tax on mining companies from 40%, which is a combined company tax and royalty tax, to what will be 58% starting in 2012. The money is supposed to be used for an increase in superannuation or the mandatory retirement programs down here to increase that from 9% to 12%, while lowering the corporate tax overall from 30% to 28%, both of these to be achieved by 2020, I believe. It's supposed to improve schools and hospitals and, you know, improve the lot for working Australians. The takedown here is that the obvious takedown here is the mining industry is not happy about this. The market, as you said, sold off big time on Monday. And the irony here is that the government is exempting the financial sector from these taxes, which is patently peculiar since they are more profitable than is the mining sector. So what's happened is companies like Goldman Sachs have downgraded the resource sector and lowered their net present values by 10% starting in 2014 and 15, while essentially saying they expect banking profits to increase, of course, you know, correspondingly, 3 to 4% during that same time. The mining industry seems to be essentially Rudd is saying that, you know, the Australians deserve a bigger share of the mining boom, and they want to impose this tax to kind of disperse, you know, to transfer wealth from people who are making money to people who are not making at least as much money. But they apparently are overlooking the fact that a tax on a cyclical industry, which is prone to booms and busts, really negatively impacts returns and will further negatively impact investment, especially foreign investment, and will in fact hasten the bust. One of my industry friends called him Hugo Rudd, which I thought was kind of cute. And another one pointed out that we saw something very similar to this in Alberta when they raised the royalty and taxes on oil and gas companies in 2007, which was, you know, very close to ringing the bell at the top of the, well, nearing the top of the resource boom there. You know, as always, whenever politicians get involved in economic matters, there seem to be unintended consequences, which we really can't foresee. From what I'm reading and what my contacts are telling me, the merger and acquisition activity is going to be curtailed. This throws a question mark into the $116 billion iron ore joint venture of BHP, Billiton, and Rio Tinto. It raises questions whether the Arrow Energy coal bed methane takeover and attendant or affiliated natural gas gasification plant will actually move forward. And the big thing is that it can only reduce the future investment in these resources, as it'll make Australia less attractive destination for foreign money to fund resource projects. And as Dennis Gartman is very fond of saying and reminding us absolutely correctly, in my opinion, capital goes to where it's treated well. And so this this certainly is making capital being treated in a less friendly manner down here. A couple of people pointed out this will also be clearly inflationary as it drives up the costs by lowering the return on investment considerations, which will mean that that marginal projects may not go ahead, which will lead to increased shortages and higher prices.
You know, it's an interesting situation in the sense that, number one, the headline is clearly misleading when one says, the first conclusion when you read the headline is that, well, all of a sudden, you know, the taxes are going to increase to 40%. Well, the taxes aren't going to increase to 40%. The taxes, which are already 40%, are going to increase another 18%. My guess is the headline probably wouldn't have had quite the dramatic effect immediately if they would have said overall tax on mining companies to increase 18%, although I have to say a 58% tax on the industry is to call it punitive is almost a nonsensical statement. My opinion is, and I'm not degrading Australian politicians by any stretch of the imagination, but my opinion is that the mining industry in Australia will really, really suffer dramatically because, yeah, what foreign companies would even think of going in when there was that type of penalty? I mean, am I nuts?
Another thing.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Another thing that the spin is already out of control here. It's funny. One day into it, and the spin is already incredible. The Rudd government is claiming that over the last decade, the mining industry has generated $80 billion in higher profits, and while claiming that the government only received $9 billion. Well, the mining industry points out that this is absolute malarkey.
Yeah.
In actuality, the government has between company taxes and royalties, has collected more than $25 billion, and that is set to go up. So the question becomes, from many people's point of view, you know, once you set this kind of taxing this excess corporate returns is never a good thing for any economy because it's a subjective measure, and on a sliding scale, the politicians slide back and forth at their whim. And a more curious thing is, a lot of times, the money that is you know, taxed and says it's going to go to higher superannuation, lower corporate profits and schools and taxes and whatnot, really doesn't go there. It really goes to increase the size of bureaucracy, which lowers the overall efficiency of the economy.
Yeah.
I mean, growing government is always just bad for an economy. There's no exception to that rule.
No, there's no question about that. We're out of time. Richard, I appreciate your input. Big Al's going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and AQ. AirAndAqua.com or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Say goodbye to clogged gutters and the dangerous job of dangling from a ladder to clean them, and say hello to the gutter brush. I recommend this effective, affordable, do-it-yourself solution because it works. Imagine a giant cylinder-shaped brush that fills your gutter, providing continuous 360-degree protection by blocking leaves and debris while allowing water to flow right through. Installation is as simple as sliding the gutter brush section into your existing gutter. It works with any roof or gutter type and doesn't require any tool for insulation. Don't make another bad investment by spending thousands of dollars to keep your gutters flowing. In most cases, just the $300 to $400 will protect your entire home, and you can do it yourself. Trust me, this is a great product. Just visit gutterbrush.com today or call 888-397-9433. That's gutterbrush.com, 888-397-9433.
It's no secret why pharmaceutical companies and mainstream media often question the safety and effectiveness of herbal supplements. But isn't it ironic that mainstream pharmaceutical companies are the ones who manufacture overpriced prescription drugs that produce dangerous side effects? Do your own research and compare the herbal supplements offered at researchedherbs.com. Herbal supplements at researchedherbs.com are backed by over 1,100 published clinical trials and endorsed by over 250,000 healthcare professionals in 76 countries worldwide. Researchedherbs.com is home to the world's number one selling liver supply formula, and best of all, our products are manufactured by a company that's been around 80 years, produces 20 billion herbal pills every year, and is still family owned. Call 1-800-973-1486 or go to researchedherbs.com. Researchedherbs.com supplements. All the goodness with none of the side effects.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990, this is the Corlin Economics Report.
I am chatting right now with a fellow who I have the utmost respect for, consider him to be a good friend, not exactly what you'd call your typical mainstream economist, John Walter Williams. John is the publisher of a very well-read and I think accurate newsletter called Shadow Government Statistics, known as Shadow Stats. I want to get John's opinion on some of the economic indicators that came out this past week and why he feels that a lot of them are absolutely nonsense. John, you're on, my friend.
Thank you for having me, Al. It's very unusual times. We're getting a very solid signal from a very broad measure of liquidity that the economy is heading into an intensified downturn. And that makes the employment numbers that we saw released on Friday for April even more difficult to believe than normal. The strong payroll growth included 290,000, included 66,000 in census workers. That's all. The census hires are temporary. They're supposedly going to hire 600,000 to help with the census. Once they're all hired, then they all get fired in the next couple of months, July through or June through September. So they'll all be negatives as opposed to positives. But we're only up to about 150,000 of the supposed 600,000 they're hiring. So you're going to have a big surge in employment next month tied to the census workers. There appears to have been some change in underlying assumptions at the Bureau of Labor Statistics. They tore away from recession towards economic recovery. They have what they call a bias factor, or they talk about the net birth-death model of companies. Companies go out of business, companies come into business, and they assume that they offset each other in terms of impact on unemployment, so that if a company doesn't report and it's going out of business, it's still given credit for the jobs that it last reported plus the general trends in its industry. Then they add another 50,000 jobs or so per month on top of that. The numbers vary by month, but what they did was they upped the bias factor by 60,000 or so in April, which
That's almost unprecedented in terms of changing the relative strength. Suggested that we may have some other very happy assumptions that are built in there. Big problem with a lot of the reporting, and even with the surge in unemployment, which may have been some catch-up, is bad seasonal factors. We've never seen anything like the current downturn in modern economic reporting. System isn't designed to handle it. Most numbers are seasonally adjusted, and the way that works is it'll take the trading patterns from the last 4 or 5 years, with most heavy weighting on the most on the last year. And a year ago, we were seeing plunging payrolls and such. What the seasonal factors tend to do is build that now into the seasonal adjustment, so that where you have a relatively flat circumstance. Where we've been seeing some bottom bouncing in the last year, and that is better than what was reported last year, the seasonal factors will boost that to a good gain. Help-wanted advertising was down for the month. Purchasing manager survey, although the manufacturing employment was up, the service sector, which is bigger than the manufacturing sector, was down in terms of employment. There are indicators that employment is not as happy as being reported. When I talk about the economy turning down, this is being signaled by the broad money supply. I still track the government's old M3, and historically it's been a very solid indicator of a downturn in the economy when adjusted for inflation. It turns negative year over year. That's happened 4 times before. Each time it's either been followed by a recession, or in the case of the 73-75 recession, an intensification of the recession. We got a signal here in December, which is signaling an intensified downturn in the months ahead. It's the best bet I can give you, and the implications there are startling, because the projections on the federal budget deficit, the Treasury funding needs, even the solvency of the banking system, all have underlying assumptions of positive economic growth this year. I'm telling you, it's going to be negative. And with that, particularly with the widening deficit and the increasing funding needs, you're going to see mounting pressure on the dollar, increasing reluctance of foreign investors to hold dollars, to hold treasuries, and most likely the Fed being put into a position where it has to become the lender of last resort for the U.S. Treasury. That monetizes the debt and starts putting upside pressure on inflation.
John, I have a question for you. You know, and this may sound, it may seem like a really ridiculous question in light of what you're talking about right now, but I have commented earlier on other shows that I think what we have here truly from an economic standpoint really is the beginning of the end. And I was talking on our show on the Business Talk Radio Network here with Lou Rockwell from the Mises Institute, who, by the way, has nothing but the highest regard for you. And I posed that question to him, and he said, you know, I think from an economic standpoint, that could very well be the case. What do you think about that, John?
Well, as we've discussed before, I see this eventually evolving into a hyperinflationary Great Depression. And there's no way that you come out of that with the political and social system the way it is today. People will be suffering enough financial pain that political change, social change, is given how it develops remains to be seen. But the government itself is bankrupt. It's spent well beyond its means. Has no ability to contain its spending, no ability to sustain it for a protracted period of time. And it's just a matter of time until the game's called by the investors and the treasuries. And I know we don't have much time here, but I do have a hyperinflation report available on my site, which gets into detail on that for anyone who's interested.
John, we're going to make it real easy for people in that sense. And what we're going to do is we're going to make John Williams the writer of the week this week. That should be on the site as you're listening to this right now. If you want to get any information there about John or about shadow government statistics or what have you, simply click on the feature at the on our homepage down towards the bottom of the page. And I just want to say, we're not, you know, as a bit of a plug here, I want to say that this guy is really, really good. I agree 100% with the fact that we can't continue the way we're going right now. And I guess the final question that I would ask you, John, we got about 2 minutes left here. The final question I would ask you is what the heck is the government thinking? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, an administration ago, I talked with people in the administration as to what was happening. They had a sense of what was happening. But their response was it's too far into the future to worry about.
Too far in the future to worry about it. John, we've got some really bright people back there, whether you like them or dislike them. I mean, Ben Bernanke, you know, the guy's no dummy. Our president is no dummy. What are they thinking? Are they simply keeping it together because they realize if people really knew what was going on, we'd have utter chaos in the country? That's the only thing I can think of.
Well, something like that. Keep in mind that you have to go back in time to figure out why we are where we are, and Mr. Greenspan can take a lot of credit for that. He knew that the economy could not grow because the average individual is not making ends meet against inflation. The only way you can get the economy to grow when income net of inflation isn't growing is to expand debt. So encourage debt expansion. And that's been the basis of growth for the last 10 years. Government, too, it's gotten out of control, and now you've had a collapse in certain elements of the debt structure. That option's not there. You do not have solid economic growth ahead. The government is effectively bankrupt, and all that's been happening here has been buying time from the future. Bernanke, Obama, and I don't mean to be disrespectful in just using the last name there, but
30 seconds.
Expediency, they have no way out. There's no way to escape this politically, so they're just trying to buy as much time as they can, and I think probably pass it off to the next guy.
Interesting times we're in. Very, very interesting times. John Williams, thank you so much for taking some time. I know you're a busy guy, but I think your stuff is very, very important and valuable to listeners. Big Al's going to be right back.
Oh, my sinuses! They feel like they'll explode!
Sinus pressure, sinus headaches that keep you up at night. You've struggled for years. You've tried everything to get relief, but your sinus distress just keeps coming back and robbing you of the healthy life you deserve. Sound familiar? Well, you're not alone. Statistics show that 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress. Fact is, 67 products merely treat the symptoms and don't get to the cause of your sinus problem. Now there's a solution that's safe and doctor-recommended. SinoFresh Homeopathic Antiseptic Nasal Spray. It's the only patent-protected nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of your sinusitis. No alcohol, no rebound congestion, no drug interactions, and easy to use. Don't go another day just treating symptoms. Take control of your sinus health now and get SinoFresh Homeopathic Antiseptic Nasal Spray and get the relief you deserve. Go to buysinofresh.com. That's B-U-Y, sinofresh.com. Or call 888-906-3636. Breathe easy. Breathe free. Get SinoFresh today. It works.
You worry. You see the signs and worry about the future. You worry about economic turmoil and food shortages. How to be prepared while preserving your sanity? Your answer may be at hand. Author Linda Runyon lived off the land, isolated from civilization. She knows that as long as the sun shines, there will be plenty of free food all over God's green earth. Perhaps the only sane insurance is knowledge of wild edible plants. The cost of learning is minimal. Wild food grows everywhere, and you will see it everywhere. It's every bit organic and more nutritious than our modern diets. Well-respected in her field, Linda's approach to teaching this subject includes books, flashcards, and video, with an emphasis on health, safety, practicality, and joy. Learn how to identify it, where and when to find it, how to prepare, use, and store it. Go to Linda's website, ofthefield.com, and take advantage of special offers. Or if you're not online, call her 24-hour toll-free order line at 888-51-EAT-FREE. That number again, 888-51-EAT-FREE. A little knowledge makes starvation impossible.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet minute when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at zero debt in 90 days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to the final segment of the Cortland Economics Report, heard on all of these Genesis radio stations. Had a very, very interesting week this past week, and I'm going to chat about that right now with my colleague Steve Carr, and also with, I don't know if I should call this guy a colleague or just a really close friend, Marshall Barrell. Marshall is a co-manager of the highly successful Encompass Fund. He has been involved in the financial community for quite some time now. Steve and I are going to get his views on three what I would call black swan events that have occurred of late. One of them, I think that anybody would have to agree that the situation in Greece, some time ago would be considered a black swan event, not today, but then, and then I think in terms of what the stock market did to at the end of the week, I think many people would consider that to be very definitely a black swan event. I view this whole thing, folks, as being purely and simply, whether you want to call it a black swan, whatever you want to call it, I would call it a situation where nobody knows what's going to happen. Marsh, what do you think about that?
Well, I think that's the case, Al. And what you saw yesterday, in our view, was a confluence of events. The situation with Greece and their currency and their banking system and the country itself, the financial aspect of the country, has been seen and known to some degree for the past several weeks. The fact that the Great Britain, the United Kingdom, England, whatever you want to call it, was having an election yesterday, or not yesterday, but Thursday, was known, but what the effect would be was not known. Then you had those two factors coming together yesterday, as well as what appears to have been some kind of order entry error or computer error, and those coming together to start the market down. The U.S. market down on Thursday, but then followed by the cascading effect of computer-driven programs and sell stop sells and stop loss orders, which cascaded it the Dow down to roughly 1,000 points down, and then came back, if you call it that, to only finish 350 points down. So those things, whether you call them a black swan or not, were certainly unexpected, and particularly the coming together, the confluence of those three factors, which drove the market down irrationally, except for the fact that it happened. So it happened.
Hey, Al, and I want to change the nature of the question, if I could, and ask you guys your thoughts on this. Is it a matter, gentlemen, of nobody knows what's going to happen as much as it is a matter of knowing how it's going to happen? You know, one of the things that drives me crazy, and we talked about this before the segment, is, you know, we get on, and Alan Greenspan, nobody knew that there was a bubble in the housing market and things were going to bust. Really? I mean, I read all kinds of articles where people were screaming at the top of their lungs, Mark Faber. I mean, I could go through a long list of people who absolutely knew it was just a matter of time. Now, maybe they didn't know how it was going to get triggered. And so, as we were also talking about, Al, a lot of things that the general public may not consider to be black, or consider to be black swans, we don't, because we've anticipated it. We've talked about it. This is not rocket science. If you have a government that's printing fiat currency with more and more zeros, whether it's Zimbabwe or the United States, sooner or later it's going to come down. Now, how it's going to come down, and this is what I think in this group that, you know, you've been working on for so long, Al, finding people like Marshall, finding people like Clyde and I and Alliance, we are seeing this stuff. We're screaming at the top of our lungs. No, you know, we need a little humility. We don't know exactly how it's going to happen, but we put our money where our mouth is. Marshall, you guys were up over, what, 100% last year, 137% or something. You didn't do it just because, right?
Right.
I mean, you didn't do it just because.
I was going to say, for 2009, yeah. Encompass Fund was up 137%. And I think to the point you're making, Steve, whether you call it a black swan event or not, you don't know when it's going to hit and how it's going to hit, but particularly when. Many of the people who, even with hindsight, were correct about the situation, or subprime mortgages were correct ultimately looking in the rearview mirror. But some of those people were saying that that was a problem. And that was a bubble a year or two or maybe even 3 years before. You don't know what the timing is, which is why we think as professional money managers that our task is to try and smooth out the effects of day-to-day activities in the stock market, being long-term investors and not being traders. Trading is an entirely different subject matter. But being long-term investors, trying to smooth that out, and why investors, individual investors, should also try and minimize, you can't remove it, but minimize emotions when it comes to making buy and sell decisions. And so when you have a situation that develops, as has been the case this week, with great volatility, you look at some of the companies, you look at some of the stocks, and you say, gee, that's a good price, and you gingerly make some investments. Now, it may be that the price gets even better the next day or the next week, but if you think you've bought XYZ company at a good price based on an analysis of the fundamentals and to the degree you're a technician, the technicals, then you go ahead and you make the move.
Here's an interesting point. Now, back in 1999, when companies that had absolutely no earnings, companies that had balance sheets that were stupid, companies that had zero income statements, okay, companies like that were trading at astronomically high values. A lot of people defined the meltdown in the NASDAQ market as being a black swan event. I don't see how they could say that, because I have to tell you, anybody with any financial knowledge whatsoever could have seen that company coming. You know, relating to the real estate market, anybody who knew anything about the banking system, about the real estate market in general, knew that that was going to happen. I have to tell you, I changed the entire focus of this radio program in 2001 from general business to asset-based investing, because I may not be the brightest light bulb in the string, but I saw it coming, and I was firmly convinced. And Marsh, you and I used to talk about this, you know, back in 1999, 2000, 2001. There was no way that the market could have continued the way it did in either the securities industry or in the real estate industry. Now, the question I have for you guys is this what we're witnessing right now? Is it the beginning of the end? I think it may very well be.
I think it depends on what you're looking at. If you're talking about the beginning of the end being the end of the stock markets or the end of equity investing, no, I don't think it is. I don't think it should be. If you're talking about, is it the end of the run for gold and silver and some of the other commodities, no, we don't think so. We continue to be very positive on the going forward outlook for various commodities, not the least of which is gold, and some of the uranium and coal, copper, the industrial metals. Silver is on the fence between being a precious metal and an industrial metal. But the fact that the outlook to us is very positive for those commodities because of what's going on around us, the printing of money, the difficulties that governments around the world are having in meeting their budgets, in the pension commitments that they have, and that's the United States as a country, its various states, its countries around the world. So I think you're very right, Al, insofar as you look at things and you say, what makes some sense? Use some common sense, and does it make sense that the dollar is going to keep rising with the kind of economics and deficits that we're running in the United States? We don't think so. Look at
Let me interject here. Let me interject here, if I could.
We got Marshall, We got 30 seconds left, you guys. Stephen, 30 seconds
common
left.
Common sense. Well, what Al's been putting together, we met with Arcana, is we have statistics not just with what's going to happen, but how to make money with what's going to happen. The margin of safety in Arcana is 5 to 1. I mean, that is incredible as far as putting our money where our mouth is and making money at it.
Okay, Arcana being a little company that happens to be a sponsor on this website. Interest of full disclosure, Big Al has to say I do own stock in Arcana, which I purposed. We are out of time. I want to thank Marshall Barrel and Steve Carr for helping me put a cap on the show. We're going to be back next week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guest by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNLive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNLive.com. Again, that's GCNLive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.